Good afternoon. It's 3 o'clock, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on Wednesday, the 4th of January, the year 2012. Jeff Brown with you here on a Juneau afternoon. Today on the show, we'll highlight Big Brothers Big Sisters of Juneau as part of National Mentoring Month. Jean Lindsay from the City Museum will be here with news about upcoming special events. Jeffrey Kahn will be here to highlight activities in January at Eagle Crest. We'll also get an update on the Gustavus Community Center with board member Diana Berry. And writers on Music and More today on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight looks like rain, low temperatures around 33 degrees, southeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Forecast for Thursday, rain showers in the morning, then scattered rain and snow showers in the afternoon with little or no snow accumulation expected. Forecast for Thursday night, cloudy skies with scattered snow showers and low temperatures around 28 degrees.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Tara Gatewood, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. Last fall, Diane Sawyer of ABC News completed the documentary called Children of the Plains. The story took a look at severe economic poverty in Todd County. But as Charles Michael Ray reports, students from there say the story focused too much on poverty and missed covering other types of wealth prevalent in Indian country.
Todd County students call their video response more than that.
We're more than that. We're more than that.
We're more than that.
We have so much more than poverty.
The video expresses the rich culture and value system shared in Todd County. Students point to virtues like bravery, understanding, persistence, and respect. They say these points are too often missed in media coverage of Indian country. Steve Elwood is the assistant Todd County High School principal. He's proud of the students who produced the video on their own following a class discussion.
This is our future, and they're giving us an indication of what they want people to know about them before they do another Diane Sawyer type piece. Not that she was wrong in how she pursued what she did, but that there is there's more perspective that should be looked at before pursuing this a second time.
The video they put together has received over 30,000 hits. Elwood says ABC News has not yet responded to the student video. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
Now for a series on Native health and wellness. Yesterday, fitness experts shared tips on starting an exercise program, like walking for at least 30 minutes a day. Today, we take a look at healthy eating habits. Whether your goal is to train for a sporting event or shed some pounds, the Wellness Center at the Sehotso Medical Center on the Navajo Reservation has some advice. At the center in Fort Defiance, Arizona, Alfreda Barton serves as a wellness coordinator. She says eating right and making health choices is important to any health and fitness routine.
The eating part is important because we don't tell people you can't eat this, and we tell them eat for fitness. What are you doing? Are you eating to run a long distance? Are you eating to go to a circuit resistance class? Are you eating for recovery? You know, so learning how to eat. Because whether it's a pasta for long distance, because you got to put out, and others are training for competitions that we're going to be sponsoring this year, so they're doing more muscle tissue gain or build, and so they're learning about protein and eating after your workouts and hydration, learning to come in and eating with drinking water before you exercise, not during exercise.
Barton says having a nutritious breakfast will give better results and advises staying away from high-fat foods like bacon, sausage, and hash browns.
What we realize and a lot of people learn is you eat healthy in the morning. When you train in the afternoon, you're not feeling the grease. You're not feeling the nausea you would feel because of food. Food has everything to do with making you perform. So look at your food, read labels. Is it food with nutrients or is it empty calories? Like blueberry muffins, people love it, but it's an empty calorie. But get your oatmeal, get your whole wheat bread, eat, you know, a boiled egg. You know, those are things we're teaching people here is what are you training for? Eat for it.
Barton says talking to your nutritionist can help kickstart your eating plan. The Wellness Center also advises people to develop a fitness map to go along with their eating. Barton says setting goals, having a support system from friends and family, and keeping your exercise clothes with you at work or school can help you stay on track. Our next story will take a look at strength and training at home. During this week in 2010, Stacy Phelps, a 1996 mechanical engineering graduate, was the recipient of a presidential award for excellence in science, mathematics, and engineering mentoring. Phelps of the Oglala Lakota College received the award during a ceremony held on January 6th at the White House. This is National Native News. I'm Tara Gatewood.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
Native Voice One. The Native American Radio Service.
Time is 3:05 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. January is National Mentoring Month, and we're celebrating it here in Juneau by inviting Lena Gilbertson from Big Brothers Big Sisters to come by and talk to us about the organization and also National Mentoring Month itself. Lena, thank you very much for coming down to the station today.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, what is Big Brothers Big Sisters?
Well, our mission is to help Alaska's kids reach their potential through one-to-one professionally supported mentoring relationships. So we're here in town, and we match volunteers, adult volunteers, with kids either in schools in the school program or just out in the community in the community program.
And before we go into National Mentoring Month, what is mentoring?
What is mentoring? Well, I'm sure there are a lot of answers to that question. But basically, at Big Brothers Big Sisters, we see it as kind of a friendship, just sort of being there for a youth, being a good influence, just doing different activities with them, maybe opening doors for them, opening them to different things that maybe they haven't been exposed to before.
And National Mentoring Month?
National Mentoring Month is to celebrate mentoring and the positive effects it has on youth. This is the 11th anniversary. And both Governor Parnell and President Obama have issued proclamations designating January as National Mentoring Month.
For Big Brothers Big Sisters, how many matches do you have here in Juneau and in Southeast?
We're currently serving 150 youth here in Juneau. And then in Southeast, I'm not sure of the number total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk to me about the mentoring program here in Juneau.
Okay. So like I mentioned, we have our community program, which is where you meet about 2 to 4 times a month. Doing activities around the community, like skiing or taking your dog for a walk, playing a game, really anything. Then we have our school program where you meet just once a week for an hour and you go to your little school and you could spend recess with them, eat lunch, do homework, you know, whatever you guys feel like doing. And then we also have our SYNC program, which is a community program, but for kids transitioning out of foster care. And those are for youth ages 16 to 21, so it's a little bit older. And then we have our Johnson Youth Center program, which is at the Johnson Youth Center. You just go once a week, again, for an hour a week, and spend a time with a youth that's in treatment there.
What kind of time commitment do people have to spend?
It depends. Like, the school program and the Johnson Youth Center program are just 1 hour a week. The community program and the SYNC program are a little more open. You know, like I said, it's 2 to 4 times a month, a couple hours. It depends on what kind of activities you're doing.
Let's say somebody wants to get involved. What's the process?
You can call us up at 586-3350 or visit us at bbbsak.org. And this month, for National Mentoring Month, we have a lot of different activities going on that you can come check out as well. You will have some different matches profiled in the newspaper. We'll have a couple matches and some different bakes on the radio talking about their experience. We'll have... At the Rookery, the featured artists are actually some Big Brothers Big Sisters matches, so we have some cool paintings done by matches that'll be up there starting this Friday, first Friday, so you can go check that out. Also, if you go to Bee's Bakery and Bistro, this month half of the cupcake proceeds are going to Big Brothers Big Sisters, so that's a good way to support us as well. And we're also sort of asking or encouraging people to think about who mentored you and maybe thank those people. You could volunteer, like I said, call us up or visit us on the web. You can help us find bigs by either telling your friends or helping us organize a presentation at your workplace. Or you can support our local matches, like I said, by different ways of donating.
Let's say somebody is looking for a big. What's the process in that?
If they're looking for a big? The same thing. You contact us. We do an interview, and we also try to match up. Or we do an interview with the volunteers as well, and we try to match up based on interest and that kind of thing.
What kind of screening process is there?
We have different background checks. We have 3 different background checks. We have our interview, and then we do different reference checks as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else you'd like to talk about?
No, I think that's it. This is a great month to think about mentoring, so we're really trying to get out in the community and have people start thinking about, you know, mentors in their life and maybe how to be a mentor to someone else and pass that on.
We'll be having guests from Big Brothers Big Sisters in their matches coming up on Mondays here on Juno Afternoon.
Yep.
All right, Lena Gilbertson, thank you very much for coming down.
All right, thank you.
Got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed,
you just remember what your old pal said. Boy, you got a friend in me.
Yeah, you've got a friend in me. Got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me.
If you got trouble,
I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you.
We stick together, we can see it through, 'cause you got a friend in me.
Yeah, you got a friend in me. Might be a little bit smarter than I am.
Bigger, stronger too,
baby.
But none of them will ever love you the way I do. It's me and you, boy.
And as the years go by,
our friendship will never die.
You're gonna see it's our destiny. You got a friend in me.
You got a friend in me.
Yeah, you got a friend in me.
Every hug seems to act just like a drug. You're getting to be a habit with me. Let me stay in your arms. I'm addicted to your charms. You're getting to be a habit with me. I used to think your love was something that I could take or leave alone. But now I just can't do without my supply. I need you for my own. No, I can't break away. I must have you every day, as regularly as coffee or tea. You've got me in your clutches and I can't break free. You're getting to be a habit with me. Can't break it. You're getting to be a habit with me. Every kiss, every hug seems used to act just like a drug. You're getting to be a habit with me. Let me stay in your arms. I'm addicted to your charms. You're getting to be a habit with me. I used to think your love was something that I could take or leave alone. But now I just can't do without my supply. I need you for my own. No, I can't break away. I must have you every day, as regularly as coffee or tea. You've got me in your clutches and I can't break free. You're getting to be a habit with me, can't break it. You're getting to be a habit with me, can't break it. You're getting to be a habit with me.
Ketchikan singer Stephanie Patton.
Come join us for the January Gold Street Music Concert on Saturday, January 7th at 7:30 at Resurrection Lutheran Church. The performers will be the Taku Gales, the Empty Oil Barrel Band, Steve Nelson, Beth Leibowitz with Dale Wygant, and Tony Tangs. That's Gold Street Music at Resurrection Lutheran Church on Saturday, January 7th at 7:30. Tickets at the door.
A little sample of some music from me by Tony Tangs.
Tabloid newspaper carried this story, stating simply that a small-town emergency squad had been summoned to a house where smoke was pouring from an upstairs crew broke in and found a man in the smoldering bed. After the man was rescued and the mattress doused, the obvious question was asked, how did this happen? He said, I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. The story stuck like a bird in my mental cell. It reminded me of a phrase copied into my journal from the dedication of some book. Kidri des mutato nomine, data fabula narrator. Latin, in the writings of Horace, translated. Why do you laugh? Change the name and the story is told of you. Why do you laugh? Change the name and the story is told of you. He said, I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. A lot of us could settle for that on our tombstones. A life story in a sense. Out of the frying pan and into the hot water. I was looking for trouble and got into it as soon as I found it. The devil made me do it the first time. And after that, I did it on my own. The point this drew the less intense level, I poured a conversation with a colleague who was complaining that he had the same damn thing in his lunch sack, day after day after day. So who makes your lunch? I asked. I do, says he. I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. One more thing about the man in the burning bed in the story. As with most of what we see other people do, we don't know why they do it either. Why did he lay down in the burning bed? Was he drunk? Ill? Suicidal? Blind? Cold? Or did he just have a weird sense of humor? Or what? I don't know. Hard to tell without a lot more information. Oh, sure, we go ahead and judge anyhow. But maybe if judgment were suspended just a little bit more often, we would like us more. I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down on it. I don't know. It was on fire when I lay down.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Wednesday. It's the 4th of January, 2012. Today's the birthday of Sir Isaac Newton, born in Woolsthorpe, England, 1643, born prematurely on a farm, his father having died 3 months before. Newton was brought up to take over the farm, but he wasn't a good farmer, and his uncle suggested that he go to college instead, and so he did. He went to Cambridge. And when the school shut down during a plague year, Newton went home, studied mathematics and physics on his own, and it was then that he developed his theories of gravity and optics. Returned to Cambridge to teach mathematics, his first great achievement, the invention of a reflecting telescope. At the age of 43, Newton published his Principia, which overturned nearly everything mankind had believed about the universe up to that point. He proved that the celestial bodies were governed by the same laws of physics as objects on Earth. He established the three laws of motion. The first law, that objects at rest tend to remain at rest and objects in motion tend to remain in motion unless they are acted upon by an external force. The second law, that an applied force on an object equals the rate of change of its momentum with time. And the third law, that for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. It's the birthday of Doris Kearns Goodwin, born Brooklyn, 1943, author of biographies, Lyndon Johnson, the Fitzgeralds and the Kennedys, currently at work on a biography of Theodore Roosevelt, author of the book Team of Rivals, The Political Genius of Abraham Lincoln, a book widely talked about around Washington, and during the 2008 campaign, Barack Obama mentioned Goodwin's book in interviews, saying it was essential reading, and after he won the Democratic nomination, he named a former opponent, Joe Biden, as his running mate, and after he was elected, he appointed Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State. Today's the birthday of Louis Braille, born in Couffray, France, 1809, famous organist and cellist, who came up with an alphabet of raised dots that could be read by fingertip by the blind, Braille. Something of a dying art today. There are now far more audio versions of books than there are books printed in Braille, and there are software programs to convert written text into audio. Today, only about 10% of blind children learn to read Braille in this country. Here's a poem for today, a poem from the early 19th century by a poet named Sidney Smith, Recipe for a Salad. To make this condiment, your poet begs the pounded yellow of 2 hard-boiled eggs, 2 boiled potatoes passed through kitchen sieve, smoothness and softness to the salad give. Let onion atoms lurk within the bowl and half-suspected animate the whole. Of mordant mustard add a single spoon. Distrust the condiment that bites so soon. But deem it not, thou man of herbs, a fault to add a double quantity of salt. And lastly, or the flavored compound toss, a magic soup spoon of anchovy sauce. O green and glorious, O herbaceous treat, 'twould tempt the dying anchorite to eat. Back to the world he'd turn his fleeting soul, and plunge his fingers in the salad bowl. Serenely full, the epicure would say, Fate cannot harm me. I have dined today. An old poem by Sidney Smith, Recipe for a Salad. That's the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, celebrating 100 years of discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetryfoundation.org. Edited by Noah Smith, written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
New to the station from Jose Luis Serrano Esteban from his brand new CD, A New Horizon. Time is 3:29 and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon, where our next guest is the director of City Juneau Douglas City Museum, Jane Lindsay, here to talk about some upcoming events. Jane, thank you for coming down to the station today.
Thank you for having me, Jeff.
So before we go too much further, tell me about the City Museum for people who don't know about it.
Sure. Well, the Juneau Douglas City Museum was founded in 1976. It was actually founded by a community effort to preserve the city's heritage history, mining history, and all of our history here in Juneau. And We've been around ever since. We've been at the old, it's the old library since 1989, which is actually quite a center for our community as well. And it's a building that's on the National Register of Historic Places. We have about 12,000 objects in our collection, and our mission is to collect the history, art, and culture of Juneau and Douglas.
And you've got some special events coming up in the near future.
We do, and they're pretty much centered around Juneau and Juneau artists. This Saturday, I'm going to be doing a coffee and collections on our new exhibit that's up, and it's a Rasmussen retrospective, and we're going to be I'll be talking about how the museum collects through our collecting themes and how we collect contemporary Juneau artists, a little bit about how the initiative works, how we marry that with our collection themes, and then we're also going to have about 7 artists come in and talk about their work as well.
It's happening this Saturday at 10:30?
Correct. And before that, on Friday, this Friday at 4:30, we're going to have Sherry McDonald is going to be our featured gift shop artist. She's going to be having items in our gift shop for cash and carry, handmade paper and prints, hand-sewn archival quality journals and scrapbooks. And she'll be there. She's just a wonderful bookbinder, and she owns Paper Mountain Studio, and she'll be bringing some of her journals in for the community to look at and purchase.
Sounds fun. She's great.
Yeah, she is.
And that's all happening this Friday, first Friday?
First Friday starts at 4:30. We will have refreshments courtesy of the Friends of the Juneau Douglas City Museum, and I believe Sherry will be also bringing some snacks. And that's this Friday. And then on Saturday at 10:30 will be our coffee and collections.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the Friends organization?
Sure I can. It's been around for a couple of years. It's our 501c3, our nonprofit. And they are here to support the museum. We have actually about 125 members. We've got a new board. And it's pretty exciting. What they really did right when we formed the group was buy the Sidney Lawrence Early Morning Juneau painting. So they're just a great support to the museum. They give us money for our receptions and also to give coffee and tea to our volunteers who come in and work at the front desk. And they help out as we need them. And it's a new group. We're always looking for members, great benefits. It's a wonderful organization, and I encourage everybody to call us or get on our website and take a look at the Friends organization.
How many people are on your staff, and how many volunteers do you have as far as the museum goes?
Sure. We have 4 full-time employees, and we have interns that pretty much equal a 1 full-time equivalent employee. We get museum graduate student interns and interns with degrees in fields that are compatible to working in a museum, and they come and work with us for 6 months at a time. And then we also have about 20 volunteers or so that staff our front desk. So we've got a nice cadre. We have some volunteers also that come and help us in collections and help us with all the history items that we have, acquisitions, accessioning, identifying, and housing our objects is quite an ordeal. It's a lot of work behind the scenes, believe it or not. You walk into the museum and you see the exhibits, and that's one thing, and then there's the collection as well, and it generates its own kind of energy and needs, of course. So, yeah.
How often do you get something that you have no idea what it is?
Well, that's hard to say, because when somebody offers us something, we get pretty good at asking them a lot of questions. So what do you know about this object? You know, tell us about it. And the whole idea, you know, we're not going to really take in anything that we don't have a good idea of where it's coming from, who is giving it to us, and the story behind it. But I have to say, many, many years ago, there was a gentleman that came in with this incredibly large light bulb. And if I remember correctly, he didn't speak English very well, and he just had this very large light bulb. And just kind of deposited it and left. And of course, that does not go into the collection because we think it probably went into one of the warehouses around town. But other than that, we really have no idea. And you need what's called a provenance. You need the history. You need something to say, absolutely, this helps us talk about who we are. This is something that is interpretable. So in other words, we can talk to the public about this item, and there's a larger context behind it. So there are things you need. So, we like to ask a lot of questions before something comes into the collection.
We've got a little bit of extra time on the show today. Could you list all the 12,000 items off the top of your head?
Only a little bit of extra time?
What's the most common item that you have there in the museum?
Well, so we have a little over 12,000 objects. So 5,000 of those are things. About 3,800 are photographs, and about 3,000 are archival records. So that would be ephemera, books, things like that. We have quite a bit of mining. We have about 1,000 of artifacts of mining. We have a lot of fishing and sport fishing gear. We have about 500 objects. We have about 250 paintings. I'm kind of scrambling here. Let's see.
Is there anything on your wish list, things that you're looking for that you know exist out there?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, lots of things. It would be really wonderful to get more, especially with contemporary artists, I would love to get some spruce root basketry, ravenstail weaving, any kind of carving would be great. It's really, there's so much that we collect that I would really have to go into the collection themes. Lots of tourism related, believe it or not, and especially back in the early 1900s through the 50s. That's pretty interesting stuff. And Juneau was really being peddled as a tourism destination. Of course, mining. Juneau businesses, that's also very important because it really talks about our history. Early families, pioneer gold rush families, as well as Ak and Taku Kwan, that's all very valuable to us.
What are the hours of the museum?
Right now we're open Tuesday through Saturday. We're on winter hours, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and we are free to the public. And in January, it's thanks to Harold O. Fossum. So you can come and visit us anytime.
Do you have a website?
We do. I don't. I think it's
better to Google it, I guess.
Yeah, just put in Juneau Douglas City Museum, and Alicia does a great job with our website. I think you'll be able to find quite a bit on there. You'll find Digital Bob on there, Gastineau Channel Memories on there. There's a really wonderful historic sites and structures database through Community Development Department. And there's a lot of information about the museum. There's a couple of virtual exhibits on there that are really, really fun to look at as well.
And Digital Bob is the electronic version of Bob Diarmond.
Yeah, it is.
All right, I've been talking to Jane Lindsay, director of the Juneau Douglas City Museum, about special events going on this weekend. Want to recap what's going to be happening on Friday and Saturday, please?
Sure. So this Friday, starting at 4:30, we'll have Sherry McDonald, and she's going to be putting some work into our gift shop. It's called Bound, New Bindings by Sherry McDonald. She's a wonderful paper handmade paper artist, and these are hand-sewn archival quality journals and scrapbooks. And these will be available for purchase, and just come meet the artist and look at her work. It's wonderful stuff. And then on Saturday at 10:30, we're going to do a coffee and collections on centered around our Rasmussen exhibit, which is a collecting initiative that the museum collects contemporary Juneau artists from. And I'm going to talk about collection themes in our collection and how we look at collecting contemporary artists. And then 7 artists from the exhibit are going to be on hand to talk about their work.
Jane Lindsay, thank you for coming by. Anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
Yes. Thank you, Jeff.
I'm glad I ask that question all the time.
The coffee is donated by Heritage Coffee Company, and we really want to thank them because they've been doing our Coffee and Collections coffee for about 3 years now, and it's really good coffee.
Jane, thank you for coming by the station today.
Thank you.
Tonight on 360 North, enjoy summer life on the river. It's Alaska's Amazing Fish Wheels at 8, and at 9, the original Deadliest Catch. Watch Pots of Gold and experience the Alaska crab fishery and the people that fish the depths of Alaska's waters. That's followed by Klondike Journey at 9:30 and the Miller Center Forum at 10. It's a great night of Alaska programming tonight on 360 North.
The creators of such albums as Liberal Shop of Horrors, One Bush, Two Bush, Old Bush, New Bush, and Obama Mia, the nationally acclaimed comedy troupe The Capitol Steps, put the mock into democracy. See them at Centennial Hall on Thursday, January 26th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets at the Jack, Hearthside, and online at www.jahc.org. Sponsored by ConocoPhillips. The Capitol Steps. What Washington would be like if everyone were smarter and could sing.
Time is 3:41 and you are tuned to KTVO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. Next guests are Eagle Crest people, Matt Lillard and Jeffrey Clout, here to talk about, guess what, Eagle Crest.
Thanks for having us this afternoon, Jeff.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff.
So snow level right now?
Well, we've got lots of snow. We have about 71 inches at the pack base at the Day Lodge and about 150 at the top of the mountain. Would you say a couple inches last night?
Yeah, we picked up a couple inches last night, and it was snowing when I left this morning. And so the snow keeps coming, and we have the most snow in North America.
That's an amazing fact, and you did the research on that?
I've done it. I've been watching it over the past week and a half or so. So it's there, a couple of areas are catching up, but we're still well ahead.
And January is Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month, I know.
Yeah, it is. And that's a national effort that we're part of, just designed to get people out, learn how to ski and snowboard, get them out enjoying winter at a time when people tend to want to hang out inside. So the theme for Learn to Ski and Snowboard Month is get outside, don't hibernate. So we're pretty excited to be part of that national effort. And as part of that national effort, this weekend we have our Women's First Tracks program, Jeff, that starts on Saturday. And that's for women who have never skied or snowboarded before, or maybe did it once long, long time ago and have decided that maybe this is the season to take it up again. So, and we have limited space on that. And if people are interested in finding out more information on that, they can go to skijuno.com or call us at 790-2000, extension 211.
Family took advantage of the skiing at Eagle Crest's last Christmas break here. But how many skiers took advantage of it as well?
Well, we had a incredible number of skiers up for the holiday week, and we're finalizing all the numbers now, but we think we've probably had one of the better Christmas weeks we've had in a really long time. There were a lot of great people, both pass holders and day ticket holders, coming up to enjoy the great weather, learning how to ski, and getting off to a great start.
Yeah, the one interesting thing, Matt and I were talking about it just a little bit ago, Jeff, is Monday turned out to be a very, very busy day, and we had probably upwards of about 40 adults that came up and took ski lessons and snowboard lessons. And I asked several of them, why now? Why today? What made you decide to come up and decide today was the day to learn to ski or snowboard? And the comment that I got frequently was, hey, we're hearing great things about your snow conditions. We just decided today was the day. And everybody was very happy. And so this is the year to get up there. If you've ever thought about it at all, interested in it, you know, the conditions are great, and with the Porcupine chairlift, that's our new beginner chairlift that we put in a year ago last summer, it's just a phenomenal area to learn how to ski and snowboard.
How many visitors from out of state and out of city come into Eagle Crest?
You know, we are tracking that information this year. Probably, I would say, about 5% of our visitors, of our total visits, are out of state. And out-of-town visitors. We see a lot of people in from around Southeast. Over the holidays, we had people in from Petersburg. We had people in from Sitka, down in the Ketchikan area. And as the heli-ski business starts getting up there, high season starts around February, we start to see more people that are interested in getting off the beaten path. And, of course, as you know, Jeff, Alaska certainly has an allure. And so I think as people see us on the national websites more and more often, they'll kind of start to seek us out, and we hope to increase our out-of-town visitors.
How does this compare with Vermont?
Well, Vermont right now is trying to recover from one of the worst starts they've had in a while, along with the rest of the country. So we're very blessed to have over 150 inches of snow at the summit of a packed base, and Vermont, as well as the rest of the country, is certainly hurting in that regard.
We've talked about this before, where it takes the people who have not learned how to ski or snowboard yet about three times to learn how to do it at a passable level.
Yep, that's what the industry has done studies, and it's about three times. So that's what we encourage people. Give it a try. Don't give up after the first time. We have a great package that we call our Triple Play Learners Pack, which is three lessons, three lower mountain lift tickets, and three rentals. And it's just $109. And we find that if you stick with it for three times, you're going to love it and become more of just a first-time user. You'll become a convert.
So if you're a woman, you'd like to learn how to ski, this weekend is the weekend to do it?
It is. On the 15th, Saturday the 7th, it's our Women's First Tracks program, Spaces Limited. We've already got several women signed up for it. And if a couple women decide to sign up together and bring a friend, then they each get $10 off. So they can find out more information on that at skijuno.com.
All right, and your hours these days?
We're 9 to 3:30 now. It's getting a little more daylight, so lower lifts are open from 9 to 3:30, and the upper lifts are still close at 3.
All right, anything you'd like to add we might have forgotten to talk about yet?
No, it's been a wonderful season so far. We've got a lot of snow up the mountain. We're looking forward to welcoming lots of new skiers and riders up at the mountain. January is a great time to learn how to ski. You can come on up, enjoy our great packages, and get your first day on the snow, and you got the rest of the season to take some more lessons and really get out there. So we're looking forward to seeing everybody.
Matt Lillard and Jeff Ricoff, thank you so much for coming down the station today and talking about EagleCrest.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
A copper rooster, I paid for pennies at the antique store. I got a rooster, a copper rooster, gonna crow about it, gonna crow some more. Crowing daddy, crowing daddy, crowing daddy, crowing daddy. A rooster, a copper rooster, my copper rooster's copper and proud. I got a rooster, a copper rooster, you better get used to me crowing some loud. Crowing mama, crowing mama, crowing mama, crowing mama. Gone from me now. Copper thieves stole my rooster. That's what I get for crowing so loud. Crow on people, crow on people, crow on people, crow on people. Called the cops about that rooster. Thought they could find it, but they can't. Somewhere in town, my copper rooster's crowing at the recycling plant. Crowing daddy, crowing daddy, crowing daddy. Thank you.
Brand new CD from Gina Forsyth called Promised Land. Copper Rooster is the name of that tune. Time is 3:43 and 3:49, and you are tuned to KTOO News in Juneau here on a Juneau afternoon. With me on the telephone from the Mighty Community of Gustavus is Diana Berry, a board member for the Gustavus Community Center, with an update on what they're doing now these days. Diana, thank you very much for being on the show with me today.
Jeff, thank you very much for having us.
So what's the weather like in Gustavus these days?
Oh, well, we got a lot of snow that's proceeded to rain right now, but we have high hopes for a continuing winter.
Tell me about the Gustavus Community Center, please.
Well, as far as I know, we've been talking about a community center has been going on since about the mid-1960s. And finally, in 2008, a group of us got together to form the Gustavus Community Center Board. We had our first fundraiser in July of 2009, and since then we've raised over $172,000 for a land purchase. In July of 2010, we were granted our state and federal nonprofit tax-exempt status, and in September of 2010, we signed a land purchase agreement for a prime 8-acre lot in the center of Gustavus with a great view of Icy Strait, and at that time, we were given 18-month interest-free period, which ends March 22nd. So we still have a little over $80,000 we hope to raise by then for the land purchase.
Any new news on the fundraising front?
Well, on the fundraising front, our latest fundraiser was the treasure hunt, which happens on New Year's Day, and that's been going on since about the mid-1990s. It was the brainchild of Sally Lesh, who died in October, and we miss her dearly. But this year we had teams of four that received clues, and we had to decipher them, drive to the site, find the hidden words, and get back to the strawberry field after 3 hours. We raised $1,500, which includes a purchase of one of our strawberries, which is one of our fundraising events. We've been planting plywood strawberries in the field. They're $1,000 a piece, and it really helps to get us to our goal. But two of the most exciting pieces of news I'd like to share with you is that recently we had an anonymous donation of $10,000, and the same donors would like to issue a challenge to help us reach our goal by March. They're willing to meet donations up to $10,000. So here's a chance for folks to double their donation if they meet this challenge by March. And remember, we are a nonprofit tax-exempt organization. And our other very piece of exciting news is that we have just been accepted into the Foraker Group Pre-Development Program. This is a program which helps nonprofit organizations design and build facilities that are suited for their communities, are ecologically sound, and fiscally responsible. They are in collaboration with the Alaska Mental Health Trust, Denali Commission, Rasmussen Foundation, and the Matsu Health Foundation, and they're going to help us from conception to construction with giving us a project manager that's going to help us develop a work plan, a project team which consists of the project manager, the staff, the board reps, and technical consultants, including an architect who's going to help us design and build as green of a building as possible, and also a capital campaign advisor which is going to help us plan and raise funds to sustain this. I'd also like to put in a plug for our next fundraiser, which is going to be the Winter Festival, our second annual. It's going to be the main events are going to be happening February 25th, but we're going to have events all weekend starting February 23rd, and we'll have an open mic at the Home Shore Cafe, dog sled rides, ski races, snow sculpting, turkey bowling, snowshoe softball, and lots of wonderful fun stuff. So hopefully the snow will stay around. As soon as we get the schedule figured out, we will post these events on our Facebook page. That's Gustavus Community Center, or you can reach us by email at gustavuscommunitycenter@gmail.com.
For people not familiar with Gustavus, could you just describe Gustavus for me, please, and tell me how many people are there these days?
Well, the Christmas count this year was 350 people. That's about where it borders. We more than doubled the size in the summertime because we are at the mouth of Glacier Bay, so there is a whole influx of fishermen, commercial fishermen, and tourism and stuff going on here. So it is the mouth of Glacier Bay, and it's a very beautiful place. So people should come visit us. We now have a ferry. You can check the ferry schedule. It's once a month during the winter, and I believe it's going to be about four times this summer a week.
I know the road, the paving of the road, was. I was talking to Hank Lenfer about it a week or two ago. It's changed the status dramatically. What has the ferry service done to that, like, in a similar way?
Well, at this point, there doesn't seem to be too much of an impact. There's both good and bad. It does make freight a little easier to get over here and a little more inexpensive. And at this point, it has not been a huge detriment, but I guess we'll have to see how many Winnebagos we end up with in the summer to make a decision on that.
I've been talking to Diana Berry from the Gustavus Community Center Board of Directors. What kind of things do you plan on happening in the Gustavus Community Center?
Well, we have we put out a survey when we first started it, and people were very interested in having a place to have concerts instead of in a drafty gym. We'll be having a place for exercise equipment. This is what we hope for. Meeting spaces, kitchen facilities, an outdoor play area for the kids, conference technologies, hopefully a stage that's going to look out on Icy Straits, which is a beautiful view, and we're hoping to make this a place where everybody can congregate. Our mission statement is to create a beautiful, sustainable space that will promote health, enhance quality of life, preserve local traditions, and strengthen the integrity of the community of Gustavus.
If people need more information about the Gustavus Community Center or would like to make a donation, what's the best way to do that?
The best way to do that is they can reach us at gustavuscommunitycenter@gmail.com. They can also reach us on our Facebook, which is Gustavus Community Center, or it would be Gustavus Community Center, Post Office Box 252, Gustavus, Alaska, 99826.
All right, Diana Berry, anything you'd like to add I might have forgotten to ask?
I would just like to thank everyone for their large donations and the small donations. Every little bit helps, whether it's large or small, and it's helping to make our dream a reality, and we'd like to thank everybody who can contribute both their time, their money, their energy, and their love. So thank everybody.
Diana, thank you for being on the show with me today.
You're welcome, Jeff. Thank you very much for having us, and have a great winter.
Of Jose Luis Serrano Esteban from a brand new CD to the station called A New Horizon. You are tuned to KTOO in Juneau. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in downtown Juneau and Douglas. KTOO also broadcasts on these translators. In the Valley and Occupy area, tuned to K276 AF at 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K269 AO at 101.7. Gustavus listens on K201 AM 88.1, K220 BT Sirsuna at 91.9. An excursion inland on Icy Strait, you can hear KTOO on K210 AS 89.9. And in Juneau, you can also receive KTOO on GCI Cable Juneau on digital channel 871. KRNN can be heard at digital channel 872, and KXLL can be found at 873. We're also online at www.ktoo.org. Coming up tomorrow on a Juneau afternoon, we'll talk to artist Jacob Stoltz about a solo show opening Friday at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. George Kuhar will be here with a preview of the Saturday performance at the Web of Original Gospel Music at the Rookery. And Nancy DeTrini will be here to give us a rundown on art happenings in the capital city during Arts Up. That writer's Almanac Music, and more tomorrow at 3 on a Juneau afternoon. The forecast for tonight looks like there's rain showers predicted with snow level to 1,200 feet, low temperatures around 34 degrees, southeast winds to 10 miles per hour. Rain showers predicted for Thursday morning, then scattered rain and snow showers in the afternoon with no snow accumulation expected. And we have next is All Things Considered. Thank you for tuning in to June Afternoon, and have a pleasant day and evening.